Hello and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
All right, we're gearing up for 4th of July, right? And so we have to do Captain America. That's just kind of a prerequisite, isn't it, almost? Well, did you catch several great lines out of that? Every army begins with one man. Wow. The weak man knows the value of strength. Almost sounds like a Bible verse, doesn't it? Your enemy is not what you expect. You won't be alone. Heroes are made in America. Captain America, about the time that the comic book came out, there was a real-life person who very much reflected Mr. Rogers here as he began. Audie Murphy went to, he was in World War II, and he went, here's a picture of him. He's all of 5'5" in heels, and he 110 pounds, and he went to the Marines to sign up, and they laughed in his face. So then he went to the Air Force to sign up. World War II, Uncle Sam wants you, and they laughed in his face. And so then he went to the Army to sign up, and they went, well, we need some fodder, so sure. And they signed him up. During boot camp, he fainted and had to beg to remain in the Army. Please don't, because they were like 5'5", 110 pounds when you're wet, and you faint in boot camp. And he's like, give me another chance. And so he got another chance, and no sooner did he land in Europe that he got malaria. And he was sick the entire time he was there. Audie Murphy, though, kind of the king of the guy without who didn't have an excuse, even though he had a lot. Twice, he single-handedly took out a huge force of Nazis. One of those times, he was in a large unit, I don't know what the name of it is, but 128 men. Nazis were bearing down hard, and all of them were killed except for Audie Murphy and 18 other soldiers. They had two tanks. Audie Murphy at that time had risen through the ranks. In just 3 years, he had gone from the lowest private guy all the way through the ranks and now was a lieutenant at the end of the war in less than 3 years. And so Nazis bearing down, he and 18 other soldiers, two tanks. He said, we got to send the tanks first. And so he sends out his two M10s, and they get shredded. Audie Murphy, as they're burning, Audie Murphy runs to the tanks, jumps on one of the burning tanks, grabs the 50 caliber, and shoots for over an hour, wiping out every Nazi within sight. After an hour of shooting, he runs out of bullets, being 5'5", 110 pounds, wet, and sick with malaria on a burning tank, takes out all the Nazis, runs out of bullets, jumps off the tank to head back towards his men, and just as he does, kaboom, the tank blows up. It had been on fire for an hour, just like a great movie scene, wall of flame behind him as he's walking back with, I'm sure, a swagger. He had to swagger at that point, right? On the way back to his guys. And here he is, now a lieutenant. Everybody who called him shorty or laughed in his face is now apologizing. He became the most decorated soldier. He won. They pinned every medal on him they could, and any of them that they could pin on twice, they did that. And Hollywood said, we want his story, but you know what? No one will believe it. So we got to tone this back. And they found that there was only one person man enough to play Audie Murphy, and that was Audie Murphy. So he played himself in the movie and became a movie star, not, Cary Grant kind of movie star, but an Audie Murphy kind of movie star. And that's what happened to him after the war. But here he is, 5'5" in heels, and 110 pounds and wet. And it's stories like this that we look at our nation and are thankful for the freedoms we have. We're in a series called Superheroes. You are no mere mortal. You have the supernatural running in you and through you. You were created to effect real change and to make real rescues. And perhaps you are the one person to begin that army. Today we're going to look at freedom. And the first text we're going to look at, even though I do this a lot, it seems like lately it's not my favorite style of teaching, we're going to look at several verses. And we're going to start in John chapter 8, and starting at verse 31. As we take a look at freedom, we have a lot to celebrate in this nation, but we have even more to celebrate in Jesus Christ. So, starting at verse 31 of John chapter 8, it says, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we will be set free?' Jesus replied, 'I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.'" Oh, wow, there's a whole lot in that text. Looking at the ultimate freedom of the truly free. First, we see that great line, we hear it even in movies, "The truth will set you free." Truth sets you free. Now, our nation is not based on an ethnic group or even a plot of land. It's based on an idea and on an ideal. And it's right in our Constitution. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There is a natural freedom, a freedom to choose, and we choose between good and evil, between right and wrong, and even, I think, a better choice is between and awesome. A lot of times that's really the choice, right? We can choose that as well. We have a freedom to choose, and we celebrate that. That's a natural freedom. And natural freedom is incredibly important. That's why America is so exceptional. These are rights that are inalienable. And because of them, we have the need of the rule of law as well, right? Because some people will choose wrong and will choose evil. And so we have to have a natural law as well. It is the foundation of our nation. We have liberty. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. The truth will set you free is not the natural freedom that we celebrate in America. It's something dramatically different and better. You see, we have freedom from the grip of sin. The truth of Jesus' teaching sets us free. The truth of Jesus' teaching sets us free. It says, "If you adhere to my teaching, then you'll be set free." Free from the grip of sin. Now, all of us sin. Everyone doesn't make us bad, it makes us dead, right? Because all of us sin. None are better than another. But for the follower of Jesus, the grip of sin, the grip of temptation, has less of a hold. The grip is dying. We know the truth of Jesus' teaching. And because of that teaching, because of that truth, we know the nature and the joy and the beginning and the middle and the end of a healthy, wholesome life. We know the truth. And because of that truth, we know the nature and the pain and the beginning and the middle and the end of temptation. And because we have been made aware in our very spirit, because of Jesus' teaching, of these truths, temptation's hold has less of a grip. We are set free. Free from the death of sin. All of this ugliness of sin, all of the ugliness of death, everything that has part of it, that is what we're free from. And an unfortunate thing is that we're surrounded by it so much that it's easy to lose sight of how ugly it truly is. Sometimes we don't even notice anymore. Then Jesus shows up. His truth leads to a dying grip. That is amazing. That is freeing. That is true joy, ultimate happiness, all found there. Now, the truth of Jesus' teaching sets us free, but good news is that it's not just teaching. The truth of Jesus sets us free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed, and Jesus himself sets us free. Even more amazing than the most amazing and truest true teaching, Jesus himself sets us free. He is here. He is near, and he is amazing. He's setting us free. Free indeed is the freest freedom. And that is our founding father's intention. God's intention is for us to know this great freedom through Jesus Christ. That is his intention. That is what he wants for us. Now, in an ultimate bit of irony, the freest freedom isn't entirely free. There are 5 bondages of the truly free. And we find that in Romans chapter 6, or we begin that in Romans chapter 6. And we see here that really our choice isn't ultimate freedom, free from everything. You see, I'm going to hit the text first. Romans 6, starting at verse 20, Paul speaking, he says, "When you were slaves to sin," slaves, "when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. And what benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you are reaping is holiness. And the result is eternal life." You see, there's a fake freedom. There's fake free. Fake free is imaginary. It doesn't exist. Fake free is being able to do whatever you want without any connections. And somehow we want this fake freedom. We want to do whatever we want without any consequences, without connections, without anything. Whatever we want. I think it's part of our sinful nature to fool ourselves that way. That's fake free. There is no such thing as that. There is the truly free, those who follow Christ and are free from sin. And here we see that our choice is not free or slave, but to whom will we connect ourselves to? What will we connect ourselves to? You see, you are a trailer, not a truck. See, a truck goes where it wants. It's self-powered. It can go where it wants and so forth. But a trailer has to hitch itself to something to go anywhere. And that's the reality of these texts that Jesus is teaching, that Paul is teaching. is that we are trailers, not trucks. And we have a choice. We can be free from sin and follow Christ, or we can be free from Christ and follow sin. It's just a matter of where do we hitch our wagon. That's the only choice we have. Where do we hitch our wagon? When I was 12, my cousin and I, we're a visiting cousin, and 12-year-old cousins should not get together alone very often, just a rule of thumb, I think. Supervision is a good thing. And he and I, we were unsupervised, and we found next to a highway a bunch of train cars. You know, no engine, just the cars. And so it was, you know, just off the highway, and there was an intersection with the gates and the, you know, and so forth. And we're climbing all over these things. These are the coolest toys ever. And we're climbing over the train cars, and I found this really big wheel attached to one of the cars. And, boy, that looked fascinating. And I thought, what does this do? And then I said, what does this do? And I said, let's look at this. And I started spinning it. I thought maybe a door would open or so forth. What I didn't know is that that was the brake lever. And so as I'm doing this, the train cars start moving. Now, the second you panic a 12-year-old, what happens? Boom, we're out of there. We're running down. We're running away. Because not only does the train car start moving, but the instant it started moving, the crosswalk guards go down and start dinging and flashing lights. Ding, 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 ding. Car's moving. Panic, little kids. Boom, we run. And thankfully, there was a guy working on his car or something, kind of figured out what's going on. We saw him run down there and stop it. It was the hero of the day. Because who knows what 3, 4, 5, however many cars there were, rolling unsupervised down the train track would do. Man. Well, part of that lesson is that these things are connected. We are trailers, not trucks. We're the train, not the engine. And our only choice in the matter is, where are we going to be hitched? We're not free agents. That is fake freedom. There's natural freedom, there's fake freedom, and there's true freedom. True freedom, though, means we are indeed hitched to a wagon. So here's five bondages that we have. First one is to the Word of God. Matthew 4:4 says, Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so we are dependent on the Word of God. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, we are dependent on that word. We need that to live. Secondly, we are dependent on righteousness. Romans 6:18 says, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. We serve now righteousness. Now, not holier than thou kind of stuff. But we celebrate it, we seek it, we follow after it, His righteousness. We are now slaves to righteousness. Third, we follow, serve one another. Mark 10:44, whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. Now, I know good grammarians might be looking at that and going, well, good, because I don't want to be first, man. But that's not the truth that Jesus is teaching, is that we belong to each other. We are attached to each other, and therefore we serve one another. We're bound together as His body. And that is a celebration. By the way, there's more on that in Galatians 5:13 and 14. I won't go there this morning. But the fourth bondage is that we are bound to unbelievers. And here Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:19, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Now, I know that you might be thinking there, good grammarians, that I'm free, no man, I make myself a slave, and therefore, yeah, I'm going to cut myself out of that one. I don't have to do that. But that is not His point. His point that he's making is that he, as he's following Christ, he's discovered this truth that we are to serve those who don't believe in order to lead them to faith in Christ. That is our joy. And that is actually our freedom, because we find freedom in serving others. The fifth bondage for the truly free is that we are bound to the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So here, our very first thing that we're seeking, that we're following after, that we're bound to, is to the kingdom of God, to his principles, his truth, his reign over our lives, and the reign that he desires. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. So we see in this celebration of freedom that we're preparing for on July 4th, as we celebrate the natural freedom that we have in the United States, that is amazing and worthy of celebration, and worthy, as we've seen by our soldiers, worthy to defend. There's something even greater, a true freedom found in Jesus Christ. And that freedom is not a fake freedom. It's a true freedom, which means that we've hitched our wagon to Jesus and follow Christ. We're free from sin. There is an independence of the truly free. We are not independent. We're in dependence. We depend on God. 2 Peter 2:19 says, they promise them freedom. Peter's talking about false teachers. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves to depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. Oh, is that an important verse? A man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. And can I, as we've looked at all of these verses, can I say to you, the choice is really not to be ultimately free. That's fake free. It's what will master you. There's a lot of things that can master you. Be mastered by Jesus. Be mastered by God. Be independent. Independent. Of him, dependent upon him. The founding father designed the truly free to be dependent. Are you dependent on him? Has he mastered you? Independence is the best possible place when we're dependent upon him. It's the most life-giving place. It is the most free place. It is the most beautiful place to be dependent upon him, because of love. His love. His love has set you free. So I was thinking about this week, and I was thinking, you know, that verse, especially that last verse that we talked about, says that you're slave to whatever's mastered you. And I was thinking about, well, how do I become mastered by God? And I thought, you know what? It's the same way to be mastered by anything, really, right? How do you get mastered? How can you become mastered? Either way. One, whichever masters you will dominate your input, your media, so to speak. So what are you reading? What are you watching? What are you listening to? Whatever's going in most is mastering you. It is. It's mastering you. And so whatever, you know, hit your wagon to a star, so to speak, and let the majority of the stuff coming in glorify him, lead you closer to him. Whatever's coming in, and here I'm just saying media because it's easier for me to think about, is, you know, movies, TV, music, reading, internet, whatever. Whatever's coming in the most is dominating. So first, how do you become mastered? Let whatever it is, whatever you want mastering you, let it dominate your media. Secondly, let it dominate your wishes. Now, that's kind of an odd thing. All of us have a wish list. Some of us write down the wish list and have lists of things that we want and goals and so forth. That's all good. But what dominates your wish list? Whatever dominates your wish list is dominating you. And again, we have fake free that doesn't exist, that says, I'm not attached to anything, I'm entirely free. Guess what? It doesn't exist. Something is mastering you. Does your wish list, is mastering you? Who is behind that? What is behind that? Now, when Michelle and I first got married, saved up a bunch of money for our first apartment and the wedding and all that stuff, and I worked like 70-hour week. 12-hour days, 7 days a week for the whole summer, saving up money and being very sweaty for an entire summer. And at the end of it all, we got all the stuff. I had an extra $200. We got the stuff we needed. We got married and went on the little honeymoon to the Wisconsin Dells. And and came home, students, my senior year, her junior year, and I had $200 whole dollars left over, which at that time in our lives was more money than anything. So I started, I didn't let her know that I had an extra $200. And I started asking, honey, if you could have anything in the world, what would it be? Because for us right now, $200 could buy anything in the whole wide world. And, you know, my wife was a terrible person to ask. Because first, well, if I could have anything, I would want everyone to know Jesus. Oh, I can't buy that with $200. Okay, honey. No, I mean, a thing. What can you, a thing. And, oh, well, I would, and you know what? She went through her wish list, and it was all stuff like that. And it was nothing that I could buy for her for Christmas, which was my plan. That I was going to surprise her with a big Christmas gift. And finally, we ended up buying, after loads of questions and different ways of asking the question, she said, I don't mind a keyboard. So we got a $200 keyboard, which was extra fancy for us at that time. But all of that to come back to, even though that's the most frustrating person to buy a gift for, what was dominating her wish list? Wow, what an amazing lady I married. What dominated her wish list? To see Jesus glorified. To see him made famous. To see people come to him. That dominated her wish list. So, how can we be mastered? One, let whatever is going to master you dominate your media. Let it dominate your wishes. Fourth, or third, let it dominate your conversation. A friend of mine who, he had just come to the Lord, and we were talking, and he said to me, you know, my friend started bugging me because all I talk about is Jesus now. And he said, and he kind of asked me about that, and I said, hey, that's good. That's a good thing. I was thinking about it, and he said, whatever's at your center comes out. And I was like, wow, what a profound thing for a new guy in the Christian world. But it's true. It is our center. It comes out of our mouth. Jesus talked about it. It comes out of our mouth and how important it is. But our conversation, what dominates it, dominates us. What dominates our conversation dominates us. And then fourth, let it dominate your spending. Uh-oh. I went from preaching to meddling, didn't I? But again, what dominates your spending dominates you. And so we want Jesus to dominate us. We want to follow Christ, to be free from sin. The enemy is not what you expect, is it? Captain America's superpower was not his strength. It was his weakness, wasn't it? Captain America's superpower was not his freedom, but his dependence, his loyalty. that he wanted to serve so badly. The best place for a superhero of faith is to be in total dependence on God. That is a superhero of faith. We want to be entirely, entirely dependent on him. To be following him in every way. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful truth. Lord, you are simply amazing. Lord, show us that again and again. How wonderful it is to follow you. How free it is to be free from sin. And Lord, I know that I fall, that I fail, that I sin, that I miss the mark, that I grieve, Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Again today, I can hitch my wagon to you. Follow you. Lord, as we look ahead to this next week, we pray that this would be a special week, that this would be a week where we follow close to you, that we are dependent on you. Lord, what a joy it is to follow our Savior, to be servants of Christ. We give you ourselves. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.